The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Somebody can't wait until watch night. Come on, somebody. They said it's been that kind of year. And I'm grateful for what God has done and for what God is doing in my life. Truly, God is a good God, and he is grateful to be praised. He's greatly to be praised. Amen. 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 We thank God. We thank God. We thank God for the mountains. We thank God for trials. When you can thank God for trials, come on, somebody. Ooh, Jesus. When you can thank God for some trials because he's seen you through some stuff. For every blessing, amen, 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 amen. Truly, we give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory that is due unto his name. Amen. Acts chapter 16 is from whence the word of God is going to come. Acts chapter 16 is from whence the word of God is going to come. Amen, amen, amen. Acts 16. From whence the word of God is going to come. Again, it's 1 through 15, but I'm only going to read verses 13 through 15. Amen, amen, and amen. We're reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Now remember, if you were not here, and or you just want to add to your library, you certainly want to get the message from last week. But this week is not only fresh manna, it's really our kickoff for our 13th year of administration. And for every day is not only a day of thanksgiving, but it's a day of thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. It says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. The text says that she was a worshiper of God, said that the Lord had opened up her heart to respond to Paul's message. But her response was once she received and was baptized, she went to work. This morning, just for a little while on this day, with your prayers and by aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about when God chooses to use you, handle your business. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. When God chooses to use you, handle your business. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, to say thank you. To say thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're doing and for all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Yes, you've been good. You've been good on yesterday and last week and last month and this year, but you've been good down through the years. You've brought us over. You've brought us through. You've given us blessings that are too numerous to name. As a matter of fact, you've blessed us beyond what we deserve, because we recognize that as sinners who have been saved by grace, it was grace and mercy that woke us up and that has been keeping us all the days of our lives. And so, Lord, it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said or done in this place, this your house, has been pleasing unto your sight, that has been as a sweet-smelling savor unto your nostrils. Now, Lord, we've prayed prayers. We've lifted up songs unto Zion. We've even read scripture. But now, Lord, we need to hear a word from you. So, Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God continue to hide me, that you would be seen, and silence me, that you would be heard. For you said, my sheep, these are your sheep. You said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Lord, this is our prayer, and it is truly in the name of Jesus that we pray. And let every heart say, amen. When God chooses to use you, handle your business. In the book of Revelation, right about the third chapter, around verse 7 and 8, the Bible tells us that our God is the one who opens doors that no man or no one can shut, and he shuts or he closes doors that no one can open. Now, while we readily accept and acknowledge that fact, we also, Brother Miller, have to acknowledge that it can be confusing and even a little frustrating sometimes trying to figure out which is which. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, what I'm saying is that there are some times when we've tried to pry open some closed doors. Come on, somebody. And we've been afraid to walk through some doors that God has set open for us. But even when those times have happened, Sister Cheryl, I'm grateful to God that we don't just sit around fussing and complaining about what God might be doing in our lives, but we found ourselves taking the path of Abraham. You know who Abraham is. He's the father of faith. Sometimes you got to head in some directions not knowing, but still going. Come on, somebody. Amen. The reason we do this, of course, is because we've also read in the scriptures, Book of Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29, where it tells us that God sovereignly works all of our circumstances, our situations for our good. Watch this. As long as we love him and are the called according to his purposes and plans. Can I go down this street now? Now, they tell me that if you can't say amen, at least say ouch. Come on, somebody. I just said that the word of God in the book of Romans, that God sovereignly works out all of our circumstances and situations for the good as long as we love him and we are the called according to his purposes and his plans. And that's why, Brother Deacons, we can't ever just do things for God just because. So you all aren't deacons just because. Ministers, where y'all at? You all aren't ministers of the gospel just because. Choir, you aren't choir members just because. Ushers on the back pew, you all aren't ushers just because. Whether you're a trustee member, finance committee, five sisters, pastor's aide, etc., you all are not a part of that ministry just because. But you do what you do because, number one, you first love the Lord. Amen. And second of all, you feel the call according to his purposes in his plans. But let me tell you, that principle not only applies to ministries and auxiliaries, but guess what? It applies to the pastor too. Amen. I'm grateful. I really am. I'm grateful for the appreciation. I'm grateful for all of the support and the love and the prayers. Hey, but I don't do what I do for appreciation. I mean, God be praised. I mean, I'm grateful for the parking space, but come on, somebody. No. Matter of fact, I couldn't do what I do just because, and not do it with any joy, and not do it with any sort of ability to glorify God. No, I'm just like you. I have to do what I do because, first of all, I love the Lord. Amen. And second of all, I have to feel called according to his purposes and his plans. Do me a favor and tell at least three people around you. Tell them, neighbor, when God chooses to use you, handle your business. Tell at least three people. Come on, tell these three people. At least three people. Tell them, when God chooses to use you, handle your business. See, now some of y'all are laughing, but that's serious, because there are implications on both sides about that. Matter of fact, God has chosen to use you, and now God is counting on you, and there's some folk who don't know you, who are counting on you to do what God called you to do. In our text, watch this. We want to look at how God chose to use ordinary people and how he used both closed and open doors to impact various regions and eventually a businesswoman named Lydia. Now, the setting of our text here in Acts chapter 16 starts with the first verse through verse 5. And such that the Apostle Paul is traveling with a team of missionaries to deliver the decisions made at a special council in Jerusalem. I think I'm in your Bible. I hope you didn't close it. Come on, somebody. Amen. They're moving from one city to the next to visit churches, not only churches that they started, but to begin some new ones. But then all of a sudden, Brother Lampkin, they're ministering the gospel of God. Amen. But then all of a sudden, starting in verse 6, the Bible says that door started closing. Now that stopped me right there, Sister Cynthia, because they're doing the work of the Lord. But all of a sudden, wait a minute. You mean to tell me these missionaries were trying to evangelize, doing their best to take the good news of God to some people who had never heard it, but yet the Bible says that God says, no, don't go there, at least not now. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. I'm not going to put this up, but you need to write this down. Quit giving the devil so much credit for some stuff that God might be doing in your life. See, we think every time something is blocking us that the devil is trying to keep us. No, it might be God trying to keep us from either going down some paths or redirecting us down some paths that we didn't think was right. I think everybody in here has wondered a time or two why God has closed some doors sometimes in our lives. I mean, we've all headed out before a path that we thought was the right direction, teach Holy Ghost, only to have some doors close in our faces. Yes, it can be discouraging, but God isn't opening doors so that we can just do things willy-nilly. Mm-mm. In fact, it can be discouraging when God isn't opening some doors or sending us down some paths that we think we should go. So today I want to spend a little bit of time looking at some lessons from this passage, specifically in Lydia's life, that we can apply to our lives to keep not only growing as a church, but to keep us growing as disciples in Christ. The first lesson that you and I need to see is that when God closes the door, number one, look for open doors. When God closes the door, the first thing we need to see is we need to look for some open doors. Listen, sometimes God uses closed doors to put us in situations for his message to get out to some people, watch this, that he has already prepared to hear it. See, we get frustrated when we go into some folk, they turning us away. God said, I didn't send you to them. You went on your own. Verse 6 says, we see that the Holy Spirit shut a door into Asia. Notice that they were kept by the Holy Spirit from teaching and evangelizing there. Then it says in verse 7 that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter into another area of Bithynia. Doors closed, watch this, not once, but twice. And I imagine, my sanctifying imagination, that Paul probably didn't understand why. You've been there. He didn't understand why, because in his mind, it just made good sense to go down into those communities. But yet the Bible says that God closed the doors. What has God, or what is God doing now in your life, trying to redirect you from some paths that you might be headed down that God has said you don't want to go that way? And we got the nerve to say that the devil is trying to block my blessing. Huh? And yet God is saying, why are you giving the devil credit? Even the devil, if I was using him, is my devil. The devil can't even do to you what I don't allow him. The Bible says that he went to Jesus and asked permission. The Bible says he went to God before he messed with Job and asked permission. But there's just some stuff that God said, listen, I'm omnipotent. There's some stuff I can do. I don't even need the devil. There's some stuff I'm doing myself in your life. Says that the Holy Spirit, have you been there? When something seemed to be clear to you, teach, Lord. When something seemed to be clear, but when you try to move forward, doors seem to be slammed in your face. I'm talking to somebody. Might be the loan for the house, the car that didn't go through. Now you mad, but you didn't know that down the road you're going to be saddled with a payment you couldn't keep up. Get passed over the job or the promotion. First thing you want to yell is discrimination. Lord said, no, that's not what I want to bless you with. Because you don't know that down the road you're going to have to work from somebody you can't stand it. They don't, can't stand you. And that ain't going to be the blessing. It's going to be a burden. So I need to redirect you. The health report did not come back the way that you were expecting. Wait a minute. Your friends, your family, your work colleagues, your business partners, all of a sudden they want to get brand new. Huh? I mean, they know what way we supposed to be going. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the one that doesn't, that the one that you love, that now all of a sudden doesn't love you the same you love them. And all of a sudden they got the nerve to tell you they don't want to get married, but you do. But wait a minute, you might be married, and the one you married to don't want to be married no more. Here's the key. The key for us to learn or potentially see in those situations is that instead of getting frustrated, angry, or upset, try to see that this might be God's loving way of redirecting us. Somebody should say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I mean, if you're taking notes, write this down. Find out where God is working and join him there. See, that's always much better than just doing what you want to do and then simply asking God to bless it. I said again, I said, find out where God is working and join him there, because that's always going to be better than doing whatever you want to do and then saying, Lord, I want you to bless it. Amen. Look what Paul does. Look what Paul does. Look what Paul does. Watch the text. Watch the text. Watch the text. Paul does. Remember, the doors, he's evangelizing. He's working in the ministry, McFarland, and yet doors are shutting. So there's probably some frustration that's happening and all this. But look what Paul tries to do, something that a lot of us do when we get angry or frustrated. He tries to get some sleep. I'm in the text. He's trying to get some sleep. I believe around, what, 7 or 8 in there? Then in verse 9, the Bible says he's got a vision. Has a vision of a man from Macedonia who begged, come over to Macedonia to help us. The Bible says after seeing the vision in verse 10, they got ready. Wait a minute, did it say they tarried? Did it say they had to wait to have a committee meeting? Did they have to wait for votes? The Bible said, wait a minute, Paul had the vision. And it said that at what? Are y'all in the Bible? At once, or what's the other word? Immediately. Got up to leave. Sometimes we have to wait on God to move in his time. But when God says move, he's saying move. He's saying now. This ain't negotiable. Amen. Amen. Psalm 38:15 says, I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. As a matter of fact, look at verse 12 in our text. In our text, it says that we stayed there. They had stayed there for several days. That's a good principle. That's a good principle when you're waiting on a door to open. Don't be in such a hurry. But if you want to sing that song, God's an on time God, wait on God's time. Amen. Which brings me to verse 13 of our text and my second point. So the first thing we need to do, the first thing that we certainly need to do is look for open doors. Amen. But the second thing we need to do is make God's place a priority. Verse 13, it tells us that on the Sabbath, watch this, they went outside the city by a river in order to find a place of prayer because they thought that people would be congregated there. Even in Babylon, God's people would gather by a river when they could find no other place to meet. Psalm 137:1 says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Now, can I teach right here real quick? I need to open up this passage for you. So I know what the text says. I know what the text says, but can I teach? According to Jewish law, you got to look in your Bibles. According to Jewish law, a synagogue can only be established, watch this, if there were 10 men who would commit to the congregation. The text says, watch the text, watch the text, watch the text. There had to be 10 men, a quorum, if you will, who would commit to the congregation. But since Philippi didn't have the quorum, of the committed men. The Bible says, watch it, that a group of women met near the river for prayer. That's what the Bible says. Brothers, it's imperative that we handle our business in these last days, but don't think that because we ain't handling it, that business won't get handled. Because the Lord's work will be carried on. Can I tell you something else? To further add a little drama to the text, on the arches outside of Philippi, there would be an inscription that prohibited the bringing of an unrecognized religion into the city. Lord, you better teach in this house. God Almighty. So that might explain why this prayer meeting was being held outside the city. I'm trying to open up the text for you. Therefore, looking for people who already had interest in spiritual things, the missionary team went to a place by the river in Philippi where people customarily met to pray on the Sabbath. And the Bible says that Lydia was among those who met for prayer. Now, it's important to be near water, because Jewish people, watch this, would ritually wash their hands before prayer. These women gathered to recite scripture, read from the law and the prophets to discuss what they read and to pray. Now, my brothers and my sisters, last week, I talked about that powerful weapon that God gave us called prayer. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Don't minimize what happens when we pray. When we're in an attitude of expectancy, God will open some doors. And that's what happens here in the text. For in the second portion of verse 13, it says that Paul and his partners, the Bible says, sat down. And they began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And it says, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. Remember, we're talking about making God's place a priority. So let me make the obvious point of the lesson here for us today. Lydia was a very successful, busy businesswoman. Successful, busy businesswoman. But guess what? She did not give up meeting with others on the Sabbath. She could have very easily justified sleeping in, because the Sabbath, ooh, Jesus, because the Sabbath might have been her only day to catch up, might have been her only day to get some rest, might have been the only day she could have got some paperwork done from the office. And she began to, it might have been her only day just to head to the lake. Come on, somebody. But instead, she understood the admonition of the scriptures in Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as see the day approaching. Here's what's also important, because while she could have very easily justified doing something else on the Sabbath, Keeling, it was on that day, and it was in that meeting where she was with others that she actually met God in a very weird way. Again, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you want God to become more real to you, then prioritize the importance of prayer and corporate worship. I mean, I get TV evangelism, but you can't shake a TV evangelist's hand. Amen. There's something about corporate worship. And it was in that meeting that she met God in a very real way. I'm back in the text. Watch the text. I'm walking through the text. What I love about the text, however, is it says this. It says, one of those listening. It says she was one of those listening. Got to do the word study. Word study implies that Lydia was locked in. Yeah, she was locked in. It literally means to have her ear cupped. She was like, in other words, she didn't want to miss anything. Am I talking to anybody here who has that kind of attentive ear when the gospel is not just being preached but taught? Okay, for Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Bible study on Monday or Wednesday night, group prayer meetings, whatever. Are we that attentive or are we just checking off the box? It says that she was one of those listening, all right? It means that she was attentive. When the word of God is being taught and proclaimed, she was saying, I don't have time to talk about stuff after church. I'm in church. I need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Because you see, when we listen carefully, we hear what God has to say. When we daydream, get groggy, get distracted, we might lose that what God is trying to say to us at that particular time. Now, I recognize that it might be a challenge to stay awake and stay focused during the preaching time. But Sister Muriel, thank you for coming. Bless your heart. Help us to understand, because she'll tell us, preaching is not a penance. Come on, somebody. Amen. Remember, preaching is not penance. Y'all better look that one up. I'm not here to punish y'all. Amen. Here to preach the gospel. First point, look for open doors. Second point, make God's place a priority. Here's my final point, by faith. Let God lead you to and through open doors. Verse 14 says in the text, it says that Lydia, watch this, was a worshiper of God. It says she was a worshiper of God. I got to teach this one a little bit more, too. She was a worshiper of God. This meant that this is a Gentile woman, Sister Graham. So what this meant was is that she was a Gentile who had decided to follow Jesus or Judaism and was sincerely seeking some spiritual truth. She was religious, but she had not yet been redeemed. Woo, Jesus. That says she was religious, but she had not yet been redeemed. She knew of God, but she didn't really know God. She was praying, but she had not yet discovered God's purposes for her life. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We got a whole lot of religious that shows up in church, but not a lot of relationship that leaves church. Sunday, and I'm talking universally, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We got a whole lot of, I already know about God, but you don't know who God really is in your life. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There's a difference between being religious and redeemed. There's a difference between being in church and being in Christ. And it does not matter what your denomination is. It doesn't matter what your traditions or your ritual is. I just need to know, are you preaching the gospel of Jesus? Amen. And the Bible says it was God who opened up the door of her heart. But wait a minute. He did so as she listened to his word. He did so as she listened to his word. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." But then after Lydia's conversion, verse 15 tells us that she and the members of her household were baptized. I'd imagine she was probably baptized in the river next to where they were meeting. But here's the deal about baptism. Baptism can become on the chain of salvation, but water can't save you. So too many folk rushing to the water, and you ain't even heard the word yet. There has been no conversion yet. But when you've been converted, the Bible says she was baptized. The basic level, baptism is a public declaration, not just of an inward change, but it's an inward decision. See, we say outward show of an inward change. I get it. I say it's a public declaration of an inner decision. You got to decide that you're going to let Jesus open the door of your heart or into your heart. All he does is stand at the door and what? But you got to make a decision. It's your decision. The Bible says after being saved, she wasted no time in outwardly identifying herself with her Savior. Watch the modesty of the text. The modesty of the text later on in verse 15 says, it says, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord." And it had nothing to do with how big her Bible was. Had nothing to do with whether she wore a hat or not in church. It had nothing to do with whether or not she had a suit on or not in church. It had nothing to do with what color Sunday it was. It was on the Sabbath. And she simply said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord." Why? Because the Lord had opened up her heart to believe. She publicly identified herself as a believer through her baptism. And then the Bible says she opened up her house for hospitality. She said, "Come and stay at my house." There's a whole lot of folk, we love to tout this. We say, "I've been saved all my life." But do you remember when the door of your heart was open to God? Amen. Or they say, "I've been in church all my life." Yeah. And I'm saying, I get church, but do you remember when you were saved? You see that once her heart is open, the door to her house also open. She received the message in her heart. Now she received the messengers in her home. As a matter of fact, the Bible says she persuaded them to use her house as home base, if you will, to provide them some refreshment and rest to the team. As I get ready to close, watch this. I just want to simply show you something here. And why even after 129 years, going on 130, God is still using ordinary people to do his work in his ministry of his choosing. For in verse 9, it tells us about an ordinary man from Macedonia who simply cried out to ask God. He said, Lord, I want, in a sense, people of your choosing for ministry and those who are handling their business to come and help us. Amen. And the Bible says that God had to use some closed doors to move his messengers to an open door. Because in verse 14, we meet a woman named Lydia who God saved as a result of those who he had chosen to use in ministry and those who were handling their business. And now this ordinary woman leveraged her relationships, her business associates, and she used her home as a launching pad for ministry. All I'm simply saying is quit waiting and asking God for what you think you need to be used by him. He says, first of all, I created you out of my own image. And second of all, he's saying to you, I've already put in you, if you are saved, I've already put in you the power that you need to do what I called you to do. Remember, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He just wants you to be in a position to be used by him. Look for open doors. Make God's place a priority, a place of meeting, or a place of gathering. It might be a place of solitude where he needs to get quiet with you. It might be a place of communion that he wants to connect and to strengthen his relationship with you. But make God's place a priority. And then number three, by faith, let God lead you to and through open doors. And listen, from the pulpit to the door, stop worrying too much about the doors that are closed. Because it might be a blessing that God is trying to keep you away from or out of some stuff that we have no idea what might be going on. Watch this, on the other side of the closed or the locked door. But the bottom line is, when God chooses to use you, handle your business. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.